Amen. So here we are in 1 Timothy. Now we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And let me get my notes out here. All right. I've been enjoying this book, studying through it. I mean, I've studied 1 Timothy before. This is the first time I've taught through it. And I've really been enjoying that. You know, we looked at chapter 1. That was Timothy's calling. The Apostle Paul spoke to him about being faithful with the gospel, which had been committed to, well, he had mentioned how it was committed to his trust, and certainly he spoke to Timothy. It's been committed to your trust as well, young Timothy. And then he, there's kind of a passing of a baton. The Apostle Paul is not quite ready to leave the scene, but it wouldn't be very, very long, and he would be. And so there was a somewhat of a passing of the baton, and you see the older passing on the baton to the younger. And you see that throughout the epistle. We see how he spoke to the church. He spoke to Timothy about getting men praying in chapter 2, godly men praying. And that's what every church needs to see. We need to be praying brothers and sisters in Christ, praying people. Amen? God's called us to pray. And then he spoke about godly women in the last part of chapter 2. And then he spoke about church leadership as Timothy was to ordain elders in various cities, and that the qualifications for that church leadership. And then in chapter 4, the last time that we met together, he spoke to him about just staying focused, about keeping his eyes on the things, not getting caught up in distractions. Because listen, that is something that every one of us, we may not be called to the ministry, but it is certainly something that applies to each and every one of us, is in regard to keeping our focus. And that's what chapter 4 really lent itself to. So now, before we get into chapter 5, well, we're going to be looking at a special group of people here in chapter 5. Anything, maybe just a word of testimony or about 1 Timothy. Is there anybody here has a verse that is special to them out of 1 Timothy? I'll just throw it out there for a moment. Nope. Not all at the same time, right? Okay, that's all right. So let's go ahead. Now we'll take a look here at 1 Timothy. And here in 1 Timothy, as I mentioned earlier, we're going to be getting into the subject of the elderly, all right? The subject of the elderly. And more specifically, it centers even more upon widows. So we'll be looking at that. There's a good, I think it's verses 4 to 16. So we're looking at about 13 verses that are dedicated about in regard to widows. And you know, I think about the day in which we live, and I know it's not all across the board, but it just seems to be diminishing to me, and that is the respect for the elderly, right? Wouldn't you say so? Certainly, I see it happening more and more. You know, when that was once something that was emphasized in our country, to be respectful to your elders, it happens less and less. Well, it shouldn't be that way in the church. Amen? I mean, because God has certainly, he exhorts us and commands us that we're to respect our elders, and we're to take care of our elders. Now, unfortunately, you know, you see it out in society, and you see it in a number of different venues. It should never be that way in the church, but unfortunately, there are a lot of churches where you see that happening. A lot of churches have put such a focus on young people that they've pushed a lot of the older folks out. Have you seen that? Sure, I didn't get any amens, but that certainly happens. And the Word of God certainly never endorses that. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we take a look here at verses 1 through 3, and we'll start off right there. I'll read those verses. We'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this study tonight on a special group of people that we read about here in chapter 5. So the first three verses says, "Rebuke not an elder." Now, an elder is also a pastor, but this is not speaking about pastors here. This is speaking about somebody who is older. It's because a little bit later in the chapter, it does speak about elders, and it's going to be speaking about elders, those that are in pastoral positions. But here it's speaking, we're talking about in these first three verses, those that are older. So he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity, and then honor widows that are widows indeed. So let's just stop right there. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this chapter tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. We're so grateful again to be able to come before you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather together again to be able to fellowship with one another. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in your church. And we thank you again for tonight that as we open up your word, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you have you just are so detailed in every facet of life and what the church is to be and how we're to address things in the church and to be thorough. And here you look at a special group of people within the church. We've already seen different groups along this epistle, and now we see widows being addressed and those that are elderly. And Lord, we don't want to just push that by, take it for granted, be neglectful, but help us to do what we're supposed to do to address that and to be honoring unto that. So we pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight and give us a greater respect for those that you speak about here in this chapter tonight. So we thank you, we praise you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing here in this first point is just a respect for others, and we read that here in these first three verses. These verses speak about our treatment of older and younger, all right? So it speaks about older and younger. It speaks about an elder. Don't rebuke, but entreat as a brother, and that's speaking about an older man, and then younger men as brethren, elder women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with all purity. And then widows indeed with honor. I love how the Lord has set up his church. He has set up his church to be a family. He's our father, amen? And we're to treat one another as members of a family in a spiritual sense. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. He speaks of fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and, of course, brothers and sisters. And I think that that's a great thing. That just draws us close together when we realize we're family. Yeah. And you know, in so many ways, and I've heard it from many testimonies of believers through the years, of brothers in Christ and sisters, that so many times I've heard it said that, you know, I'm closer to my brothers and sisters in Christ than I even am to my own blood relatives. Yeah, certainly that's not always the case, but you know, because what we have, especially when you think about blood relatives, all right, somebody you're related to and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, we have something that is this tremendous bond. We have this bond in the Lord Jesus Christ that you can't replicate, obviously, with just family. Yes, I love my family and all of my extended family, but not all of them know the Lord Jesus Christ, and what we have here between each other is very, very special, and it should never be taken for granted, and the Lord lays that out so clearly. So we're told to honor elders, and I want to take a few moments to read some verses. You think about what it says in Exodus chapter 20, and that's where the Ten Commandments are. It says that the fifth commandment says that we're to honor our father and mother, right? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As it says in Ephesians, that's a commandment. That's the first commandment with promise. God says, you honor your father and your mother, and God says, I'll allow you to live long upon the land. It's nice to be able to live long, right? God says that he would do that for his people. I think about Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 32. These are great verses to write down. In the book of Leviticus, it says this. It says in verse 32 of Leviticus, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, the gray-headed, the white-head individual, and honor the face of the old man. The Lord says, rise up before the old man. Show them honor. He says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So over and over, the Lord lays out many verses and many exhortations about respect for those that are older. He talks about brothers and sisters and the kind of relationship we're to have with them. I think of John just chapter 15 and verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That we're to love one another. We may not always see things the same. We all have our differences. We have our differences in many ways. But we're to look beyond that and have a love for one another because, you know, I see my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Christ died for you. And now we are bound together because of what the Lord has done. And so we're to love one another. Yeah. And sometimes we can get real petty. And if we begin to start walking after the carnal nature, we can begin to start magnifying all of the faults that we have. And that's just not a good way to go. We're to have grace with one another. Amen? And then sons and daughters, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then certainly when it comes to widows, because we're going to be going into that passage here, the Lord has much to say about taking care of widows. There are many passages in the Old Testament. I'll just read a few. You might want to turn there. Deuteronomy chapter 24. We'll just read a few. Deuteronomy chapter 24. And I'll read verses 19, 20, and 21. And that says here in that passage, it says, when thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go back again to fetch it. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. So the Lord wanted to take care of those who weren't always able to take care of themselves. Psalm 146 and verse 9. And I'll turn over there real quick. Psalm 146 and verse 9 says this. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. And then in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 25, he said this in regard to the widow. Verse 25, he says, chapter 15 and verse 25, it says, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Okay, the Lord is going to take care of the widow, those who are the underdogs, those who are down and out. And of course, James chapter 1 and verse 27, and this is a great passage here as well, talking about pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And so you see, the Lord has a great love for widows. And now as we get into this chapter, we're going to take a look at these next 13 verses. And we'll be looking at how the Lord says that we're to take care of widows within the church. Now, I'll read a passage that takes place at the in the early church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 6 before I go ahead and start going into that passage in 1 Timothy chapter 5. But in Acts chapter 6, this took place. And something like this can certainly happen with all of the activity that was taking place in the church. Thousands had been getting saved. Great things were happening. And it says here in these first three verses, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. All right, their widows had been neglected during all of the daily ministering that was taking place. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." So they had this plan, and the Lord directed them to do this. "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So they had a plan, and they put that plan together to take care of that situation, making sure that the widows would not be neglected, that they would be taken care of. And the Lord certainly had a plan for that. So now we're going to look at this second point, and it's really the last point that I'll be looking at here tonight, and it's in regard of taking care of widows. So we take a look here as we go into verse 4. We're going to look at a section of verses here, and we'll see four categories of widows that the Lord lays out here. And we're going to look at, first of all, widows that are supported, as I call it, supported widows. And then secondly, we'll look at, as the Bible calls it, widows indeed. Okay, that's another category. And then the third category is what I would call younger carnal widows, because we see that here in this passage. And then we'll also see another category of widows, and it would be the younger spiritual widows. So we'll look at those four different categories. So we'll look first of all now at widows that are supported, or supported widows. And so what we have here, and from verses 4 through 16, is I love the way that the Lord gives us information. Whether it was Paul's personality to do this or the Lord just did it this way, but it's kind of jumbled, all right? Each category is not just laid out in 1, 2, 3 verses, and then the next point, 1, 2, 3, and then the next point. You'll find them kind of jumbled around. And the Lord, I think, is doing that so that we would study our Bibles, so that we'll look, it's not so simple. You're going to have to figure this out. And so we see the supported widows in verses 4, 8, and 16. Those verses refer to what I term supported widows. And so we'll look at those verses right now. It says this in verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." All right, and then we go over to verse 8, which is in line with that as well. Now, this would be the converse side, or that which is contrary, the someone who's not going to take care of their own. Verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own," so there are those who can do it, but it says, if they would not provide for their own, they're not taking care of the widows of their family, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And then we go to verse 16, because verse 16 brings it back up again. It says, "If any man or woman that believeth," this one definitely specifies somebody that knows the Lord, "that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." So there in verse 16. So these are the widows whose needs are being taken care of by other means. These would include family. We see that in verse 4 as it talks about children or nephews. You know, that's just common sense, right? It should be that family should take care of other parts of the family. A widow who's not able to take care of themselves as they once used to, it fell upon the children or the nephews or the relatives to take care of their own. Again, that would just be something that you think would just happen. And the Lord commands families to take care of their own. He speaks of those words of piety. Piety means a reverence. It certainly means that toward God, but it also means that toward family. It means that towards your parents. Honoring, revering, you know, your parents. Also, to requite means to repay. And it can mean negative, and it can also mean positive, but it certainly means positive here. It means to repay or to recompense everything that your parents did for you. I mean, many times I think some people need to be reminded when they kind of shrug their duties and responsibilities of taking care of their aged parents when their aged parents made some sacrifices when they were little, right? I mean, it should come back the other way around, and many times it does. I mean, it certainly happened with, in my family, and, my dad passed away at a much earlier age than he should have. He barely hit 70, and I know he would have lived longer, but he got cancer. And then my mom, she lived another 20 years past my dad, another 21 years past my dad. She was almost 91. But it fell on us to try to do what we could. Obviously, there's other things we'll talk about, but where we could, we wanted to take care of our mom. And that should just be something that, boy, you don't even have to think much about, right? Because you think about the sacrifices that your parents made, that your mom made for you many times, certainly when you were a child, but even beyond that. And then conversely, again, the Lord condemns a widow's household for not taking care of her. And that's what we read in verse 8. That should never happen, especially for somebody who believes. And of course, it says he hath denied the faith. He's speaking about somebody who claims that they know the Lord. You've denied the faith, and that's worse than being an infidel, an unbeliever. Boy, you wouldn't want to go there, especially if you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ and you've just left your mom destitute. And then verse 16, again, is another reminder for loved ones to take care of their own. And then there's a very important footnote there that's made that the church is not responsible. The church is not responsible to take care of those widows and instead take care of the widows that really truly need help. So he's telling Timothy, listen, in those cases, they've got family and there's a support group. Now, every case is different, and the church should always try to jump in where they can be of help with any class of people in the church, and certainly with widows, certainly those who are destitute and need help. Well, it ought to be something that, what can we do to help? And I know that's where the heart of every one of you are. Every time we have a need, I have many of you come, is anything being done for them? Whether it's widows or maybe somebody else in a tough situation, is anything being done for them? I admire that, and I so appreciate that, and I commend you for that, because that's where our hearts should be, that we want to help somebody who's in need. And who would be more in need than really a widow, right? So that's an important footnote right there. It's important to note that the difference from then in that first century to now is big. I mean, back then in that first century, they didn't have what we have here in America. We have a lot of government subsidies. We have insurance. There's welfare, Medicare, Social Security, all of that. Whereas in that first century, you didn't have that. You had the believers coming together and probably gathering together some love offerings to help, widows that really needed some help and that really needed, some support. But yet, with all that, the church should do what it can to take care of the widows within. So, secondly, I want to bring up the second category of widows, and that would be the ones that the Bible calls widows indeed. And we see that in three of these verses, verses 3 and 5 and 10. Verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. And verse 5 and verse 10 tells us that, what that is. It says in verse 5, now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God, and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. So here you're talking about a widow that really doesn't have that support system. She doesn't have that family to help her out with her needs. There's not those children. There's not those nephews. This was a woman back then in that first century that was alone. She was destitute. And so that was where the church was certainly to come and try to be a help and an encouragement to try to help her financially in whatever ways that she needed. Verse 10 comes with some qualifications about what a widow indeed was. The Lord gives the qualifications for a widow who was truly a widow indeed. It says here in verse, I'll read verse 9 and 10. It says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old." All right, so it lays out something here. The Lord puts a marker, an age delineation here about, okay, this is where we're going to draw that line of what truly a widow indeed was. And that was, well, they won't qualify unless they come to that age of 60. So that's what he lays out. And he says here in verse 9, he says, "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man." So here's the qualifications that begin to be laid out. And it says here, "Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the feet of the saints' feet, and if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." So in other words, this is a woman that falls in this category of being a widow indeed. She's destitute, as verse 5 says. She's destitute. She trusteth in God. She continues in supplications and prayers night and day. And then it gives the qualifications of what this woman was like. Well, she was obviously a woman that served the Lord. She was yielded to the Lord. She loved the Lord. She ministered unto others. It talks here about washing the saints' feet and lodging strangers and relieving the afflicted. So whether it was, helping out a mom or helping out the saints, or whether it be to strangers, she was someone that was committed to serving the Lord. So the Lord uses Paul to give this, to lay out these clear-cut guidelines about what a widow indeed actually was. And so if she fell in that category, then there was this was an opportunity for Timothy to rally around that widow and to help her out and to use whatever means that they could to go to the church and to have a love offering and to help them out. That is certainly something that can take place with us. I mean, obviously, we have a lot of programs, there's Social Security and all those things that I mentioned before, Medicare. And you don't usually find that happening so much. But at the same time, even if a widow today within our church, maybe she's taken care of through all of those needs, maybe her husband's pension or a Social Security that she receives keeps her taken care of, yet we ought to still keep our eyes on these widows. Amen? And I salute everyone here, that's all of you ladies that are widows, and because I can't put myself there, but that's already a challenge enough. To have to go on alone without your spouse, without your husband any longer, there's just challenges right there that I can't even, really address or acknowledge or get a grasp of. And so I so commend you and I appreciate you, but we ought to be praying for them. We ought to find out whatever needs that we can be a blessing and help to fill. Amen? And then as we go on, we see not only widows indeed, but we see also a third group here. And this group, it's not stated this way here in this passage, but it's definitely fitting. I call it the carnal widows. The carnal widows. It's a third group. And apparently that was something that was, that was there. That's something that Timothy was going to have to deal with. And the Lord gives this wisdom through Paul as he writes this letter to Timothy. We see it here in verse 6, and then we'll go over to verse 11 after this. Verse 6, he says, "But she that liveth in pleasure," and he's speaking about a widow, "she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." So he's talking about somebody here who is certainly not a spiritual woman, all right? This is somebody who's living in pleasure. They're not living after the things of the Lord. There's little or absolutely no spirituality here about this widow. And then he goes on to verse 11, and we'll read about this same category of widow in this verse 11. He says, "But the younger widows refuse." Okay, refuse them. They're not going to be put in the same category as a widow indeed. He says, the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So Paul instructs Timothy that the church is not responsible to care for them. I'll read a little bit further on as he says here in verses 13 through 15. He says, or 13 and 15. I'm going to skip 14. He says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And then verse 15 says, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So Paul is writing this to Timothy and informing him, instructing him through the Lord to designate those different widows that are in the church and realize what he has before him. He says, you're going to have a class of widows that usually are going to be younger. It's not all of them, because verse 14 gives us the other side of the equation with a younger widow. But he talks about there are going to be many who are younger. They are not led by the Lord, those that fall in that category. He talks about they wax wanton. He uses that phrase there in verse 11. And wax wanton is to become loose or unrestrained when you look that up. To wax, first of all, that word wax means to become something, all right? To become from one thing to another, like it's to wax feeble. All right, you've waxed from this to becoming feeble. So he's saying to wax wanton is to become from one state to another, and to that word wanton means to become, or means loose and unrestrained, and it speaks about the meaning there is referring to being lustful or lewd. So there was a category of women that younger widows, when they lost their husbands, that didn't always follow the Lord. And that passage right there says that when that happened, it says in verse 13, withal they learned to be idle and wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. So that was going on. There were those that were not yielding their lives over to the Lord. Maybe after they had lost their husband, they lost all their spiritual, their direction, and they went a direction that they shouldn't have gone. They went to a place where the Lord told Paul, instruct Timothy, that beware of those women, and you're to refuse them. You're certainly try to reach them and encourage them to stay in the church and to stay faithful, but that's what he was seeing. And they had become gossips and tattlers and busybodies and all of that. And it had already happened to some, as he says in verse 15, for some are already turned aside after Satan. So that was kind of a sad commentary that had taken place. It doesn't happen with all younger widows. I mean, through all these years of being saved, I've seen many, many widows in the churches that I've been in. And of course, we have widows here as well. And I've seen a number of younger widows that followed the Lord and kept their eyes on the Lord and didn't just remarry and go off on their own course. I've seen that as well. So I've seen both parts. And he's going to speak in verse 14 about the other side of that equation with somebody that's a younger widow. He says here in verse 14, this would be the younger spiritual widow. He says here in verse 14, I will therefore that the younger women marry, and that they bear children, and guide the house, and give non occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So this would be the younger spiritual widow. This is the one who would choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that she remarry, bear children, if that's an option. It doesn't mean that they were to necessarily do that. I've seen all kinds of cases here. I've seen some that lapse over into one category and some that lapse over into another category. He speaks here about, yes, if they remarry and bear children, he gives advice to do that. That doesn't necessarily mean that they do that. And I can think of a number of them, some really godly widows whose husbands passed away at an earlier age, and I watched them just stay in the church and be faithful and be a blessing to their children. You know, I think of some that back at Treasure Valley Baptist, you know, we can certainly think of some. If I brought up some names, you'd go, yes, for sure. And I admired that. And, you know, some of these ladies never chose to get married again, but they just chose to keep their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know, you have a choice to make here, and that is either you're going to go down one road and say, well, okay, all of a sudden I've lost my head, my husband's gone, and you might find yourself, you know, if that takes place, you might find yourself in a precarious position, and that's where I think a young lady, or anybody for that matter, just really needs to turn to the Lord and have a closer walk with the Lord than ever before. And to really look unto the Lord, to really make a commitment to walk with Him, to get into that Word, because, you know, we get into a place where we're more vulnerable. We're by ourselves now. We deal with things that we didn't have to deal with, at least to the level, when you're by yourself. And some of you ladies that are here, you're in that situation where, yes, it's become more difficult. I find myself alone. I don't have that fellowship that I've had with my husband through the years. And now I feel like I'm even more tempted by the devil. And the tempter comes along and tries to take me places in my mind or in my thoughts where I shouldn't ought to go. So, folks, it should behoove us, or it should be necessary for us to really be praying for our widows, to be lifting them up, because some of the challenges that they face, maybe it's not something that we can really get a hold of or grasp, but we just take that to the Lord and just think, well, what a challenge that they may face and that they must face on a day-to-day basis. And so pray for them. Pray that God will just give them strength and keep their eyes on the Lord, because obviously there is a temptation to go a direction that would not be right, that something that Paul laid out to Timothy to keep an eye for and to be praying for them. So we think about people in various situations. Some of us, again, we're not going to really be able to get a hold of, because we've never experienced that. But that's why it's just good for us to look around. You know, it's good to have a prayer list. I have a list of every one of your names, and I pray for that on a regular basis. It's good for every one of us to maybe get a hold of that. I would certainly provide you with a list of all those folks that are in this church, and it's good for us to pray on a regular basis and to look at each individual and to think, well, I'm not in that situation, but I know some of the things that that person is going through, that gentleman is going through. We have widowers who have a similar a situation where they no longer have their wife, and that's a difficult situation. And so may we have some compassion and be praying for those who are in, you know, again, situations where, you know, we just haven't experienced somebody who's going through some health issues, somebody who's going through some financial difficulties, somebody who's going through some problems in their home, problems that they're having with their children or extended relatives. We just need to be lifting them up in prayer. So we have here, you know, without a doubt, a very, very special classification of people here, these widows and those that are elders. And the Bible speaks to us about how we're to look at them, how we're to treat them, how we're to honor those that are our elders, our parents, but certainly those that are widows. Well, they're in a class all by themselves. And we see over and over throughout the Word of God how God, the Lord is always one for the underdog, those who are going through struggles that, again, we can't even touch. But the Lord is there for them, and He wants us to be there for them as well. Amen? Amen? And so with that, let's go before the Lord in prayer, and we'll go ahead and have a hymn of invitation. Now, Father, we come to You tonight and thank You, Lord, for what You've provided here in the church. And Lord, we thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank You for those that are younger. Thank You for those that are older. And Lord, help us to have respect for both. Help us to have respect for one another. Help us to, as much as we possibly can, try to walk in somebody else's shoes and try as best that we can to understand and see what some of the struggles that others are going through. Help us to have some compassion. Help us to have a love for one another. We thank You for what we've read about here in in this chapter here, 1 Timothy chapter 5, in regard to widows. Lord, we thank you for them. We have godly widows in this church. And Lord, may we lift them up in prayer. And may we be a blessing to them in any way that we possibly can. And so we thank you, Lord, for the fact that you've laid this out in your word. It's important enough to you that you've laid it out about how they're to be treated. And you gave this instruction to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. So we thank you for that. Help us to take note of it. And so we thank you tonight that we could look at this passage of Scripture. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Let's all stand. We'll take a hymn book out.